Welcome to the 20 Minute Runner Podcast. My name is Roland, and I am the 20 Minute Runner. It's good to have you along with me as I run and race through the Piedmont region of North Carolina while practicing the Qi running method. Thanks for sharing some of the road with me. About 6:20 on September the 7th, 2010. It is presently 62 degrees. It has been a lot cooler in the mornings up late. During the afternoons, it's still been somewhat warm some days, but it's been better overall. We had 97. One day last week, I think it was Friday, and today is Tuesday, and then over the weekend it was a little bit cooler, down around 81, 82, really, really nice, low humidity, and now it's creeping back up. The lows were actually in the 50s, and now they've gotten into the, here comes a cat. Hey, kitty. Hey. Who are you? Hey. Hey, I don't know you. Hey, it's a tabby cat with a bell around her neck. Looks like a older kitten. Yeah, come here. What are you doing hanging around here? You're not going to eat Ticker's food, are you? Hmm. Yeah, pretty little kitten. Tabby cat with white feet. Yeah, I heard her crying and I thought, well, Tigger hadn't come by me. Here's Tigger. Tigger, do you know this cat? Do you know this kitten? Tigger's sitting here like, who is that? Hey. Yeah, that's Tigger. But anyway, maybe they're okay. Yeah, that's not your cat. That's not our cat, Tigger. That's somebody else. So it's been cooler in the mornings, and it's definitely a little bit cool this morning, but it was down in the 50s. Got down to 56 one morning, but this morning it's a little bit warmer than that. But we're going to try to get going here. I'm planning to go about 7, and I'll give you an update on how things are going in a little bit. But you are listening to episode 65 of the 20 Minute Runner Podcast, and I'm just glad to have you along with me. And we're going to get going here. It's pretty much dark. Still looks very cloudy, but it's kind of clouds that are probably going to break. But it's still fairly dark, but it'll get light as we go. Hope your running's going good. Appreciate you taking the time to download this episode, and we just plan to talk to you in just a minute. And again, you're listening to episode 65 of the 20 Minute Runner Podcast. Hill, the big hill, which in my case happens to be the first hill. A little early in the run, but I feel pretty good. Hoping to go 7 today, just a short run. Well, what's average for me? So far so good, as we're, I don't know, 10 minutes or so into this one. We're passing Darcy. Hey Darcy! Who is a lab hound mix. She's in a a decent sized chain link area. And she runs back and forth when I go by. Sometimes I walk Odie out here. This is the street behind my house. And she sees Odie and she'll bark, and then I'll take him up to the fence. They both stand there with their ears up and their tails straight up, smelling their noses. And she calms right down. She just likes to bark. I really don't believe she'd bite me. I actually petted her whenever her owner was walking her by the house one day and I was outside. But she's doing what dogs do. They bark when you're near their property. That's what you expect, and that's really what you want them to do. I don't get after Odie a whole lot for barking. Although occasionally we do get him to hush at appropriate times. But if you were to come to my house just to walk in, he probably would bite you. But if you come up to my house and I tell him that you're okay and perhaps give you a biscuit, you can come in the house. He won't bother you. He might growl a little, but and then come eat the biscuit. And honestly, within 2-3 minutes, he's fine. He's sitting there looking at you like, where's my biscuit? It just takes him a few minutes. Some dogs are like that. Some dogs just, their nature is, he's territorial when it comes to my wife. Not so much me, but you know, he'll protect me as well. But he's a good dog, and that's what dogs do. So we got him trained to, yes, I do. We do want you to bark when you see somebody unusual. But we want you to hush. We want you to hush. And if someone's coming into our home, we typically would not want you to bite them. And he understands that, and he doesn't. So he's a good dog. I was checking to make sure my recorder was running. Well, we've had a good holiday. Didn't do a whole lot unusual. I did plant another tree. We had a little bitty spruce, is that right? I think that's right. One of those miniature kind. Second one we've had. We had one where we were before living, and it was in a pot, and the thing lived quite a while. But this one has lived 7 years, maybe. And several weeks ago, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, started showing signs of dying. And so, for whatever reason, it died. I don't know if it was too much water, not enough water. I did fertilize it and took care of it. But after 6 or 7 years, 7, 8 years, it seems like for me at least they die. So, I cut it down a couple weeks back, probably longer than that. And yesterday, dug up the short trunk and root of it, which trunk was about big around as my bicep. And I had been asking for some type of birch. And so we got I think it's called a clump, river clump birch. The outside of it peels off, the trunk, the branches. They are very, very cool trees to me. So yesterday I dug up what was left of the little spruce and planted that one and filled it in with dirt and potting soil around it. Packed it down, watered it, packed it down. Covered it with mulch, packed it down again. And contrary to popular belief, or some people anyway, this is a good time of year to plant trees. Over the winter, the roots will grow. And so come next spring, if the weather turns as hot as it was this summer, that tree's going to need all the help it can get. They said this would go down as top three hottest summers we've ever had since they've had record, and in a lot of ways, people are saying it's the hottest we've ever had. Well, I believe it. When you got September 3rd registering 96, that is really, really hot. But we got the tree planted, and then Cindy and I went out and went to a couple of thrift shops in Winston. We enjoyed that. Picked up a few books. Picked up Robert Jordan, the first Wheel of Time book, which I've not read that series, although I do read a certain amount of fantasy, a little bit of science fiction, mostly history, local stuff, North Carolina history, as well as American history, mostly pre-revolutionary, pre-Civil War, although I did read the book on Lincoln, which has gotten me more interested in the Civil War era. But I picked up that book and a couple of others. Clive Cussler, I'm about through with Medusa, and I found out that rather than straight sci-fi, it's more of a James Bond in the ocean. Kurt Austin is not head, but works for NUMA, which is an underwater marine agency. It's run by the government, and they're after the bad guys. And I won't give it away, but Cussler and his writing associate have written several books based on the character. And it's really, really neat. So found another paperback in the same series and picked it up. Went to Ruby Tuesdays and ate lunch. Had a $10 coupon in the mail. And I had steak, broccoli, cream potatoes, and one cheddar biscuit, or garlic biscuit, which was really, really little. But that was a good lunch. So we planted a tree, ate lunch, and then went to look around. I'm trying to find some aquarium stores in the area. Located one, and we went by there yesterday, but they were closed for the holiday. I've been very pleased with what we've been getting at PetSmart, and they're not a sponsor of this show, but I'll just tell you. I did have one Molly to die. Years ago, I didn't ever have mollies in my life. I never had mollies that I can remember. But this year, we picked up a couple of those along with some platies, and I got four gouramis, two different types, an albino Cory catfish, and a Pycostomus. And I noticed that the male had a male and female molly. I noticed that the male, we joked about it, looked like he had a little white lip when we got him. Well, it took a couple weeks to figure out he had some type of, we used to call it cottonmouth fungus. So I went to PetSmart, and Justin, guy that works there, knows so much about fish, I was impressed. But he recommended what to do, and so I'm treating them. This is when I put the stuff in tonight. Got one more night, you do it for a week. But this Molly ended up dying the next day. So I took him back. And if it's within 14 days, they will give you a refund, and they did. Didn't pick up any more fish because I want to make sure that the disease is gone. And I need to do a 25% water change on the tank Thursday after I finish treating them. And then give it through the weekend, and by early next week, a week from now maybe, we could add a couple more fish. Not sure what we're going to do with that, but the aquarium's going okay. When the fish got sick and I started treating it, had to take out 10% of the water, put the treatment in that night, had to remove the charcoal from the filter because charcoal will trap medications. So water's not as clear right now as I want it to be, but we'll get there. And so I did find out, and I knew this anyway, but Justin reminded me that mollies need high salinity. They do like moving water, but also pH of the water needs to be hard. And I told him, hard water and high pH, excuse me. And I told Justin that, I'm just interested in putting fish in my water as it is. Of course, you treat it and put some salt in it, as I said, aquarium salt. But I said, I don't want to have to adjust the pH. I want to find fish that'll do okay in the pH I got. He understands that. But the other molly's doing okay. So we'll treat them tonight and tomorrow night. Hopefully they're all going to be okay. All the fish are okay at the moment. Tank's a little cloudy, as I said, but it's what you get when you don't have all the filtration you need or take the charcoal out for a week. So we're getting that done. My beta died. I think he got too cold. I'm not sure, but it's about 70, 72 maybe in his little tank. I used to think betas would live in cold water, but I've done more research now that I'm older. And they like it about 80 degrees. Incidentally, if any of you out there listening are into aquariums, if you know where I can find an adjustable heater for a 1.5 gallon tank, I'd be curious to know. And what I've narrowed it down to is 25 watt heater adjustable. I don't know if that's too much or not, but I've heard that, that can be used in a tank that small. But what I don't want is a factory set heater that you really can't do anything with it. I need something that I can set and adjust. So I know this is not an aquarium show and I'm not going to keep talking about the fish, but if any of you happen to have a tank or some experience with tropical fish, you can answer that question. What kind of heat can I get for a 1.5 gallon? It's very small, but throw a beta in there, I'd like to know. So, but I cleaned it up, the 1.5, and got it set back up and plan to do something with it. Maybe get a beta in it, I don't know. A couple of swordtails, not the beta. Just don't know yet. Alright, name of the show is not Fish Talk. It's a 20 minute runner. I'm feeling pretty good right now. It is still overcast and getting pretty light at this point. I'm sweating quite a bit. The humidity seems to be up a bit to me. But again, these temperatures low enough that it's not cool, but it's not terribly uncomfortable. I pulled out a pair of red Tenley shorts. I don't even know if they make them anymore. Man, they were so crinkly. They've been wadded up in my drawer for, I don't know, 3 years. Pulled them out, washed them out in the sink. And I'm wearing them this morning. They're comfortable. They have the liner. And they also are shorter than some I wear. I think they'd be great to wear for a race. But I don't know if they still do anything with them or not. And, but as you know, I'm not the most conscious person when it comes to the latest styles in my running wear, my running attire. If I can cover up adequately and be comfortable, that's what I'm after. So, incidentally, I am still running the Chi, and I'm not going to spend any time on that to speak of, but just a couple of really quick hints in passing. I work on this even as I'm talking to you. I have noticed that if you try to waddle a bit, let your arms and the free motion of your body run with your hips, then that seems to help as well. And the other is run relaxed. A little bit of bent knee, but particularly your ankles, so that your feet, again, are being peeled up and your toes are pointing down at a, I don't know, 30 degree angle when your foot hits the ground. And I found those two things make it very comfortable. And the C, where your neck is extended, your chin down a bit, your pelvis is turned where there would be a C shape if you were looking at your posture. That concept, letting the hips move and doing the feet, they really, really help and I continue to learn how this feels, but it's weird because it's getting much more comfortable, and I'm actually learning to run a bit faster with it. Did want to let you know that I will not be running Cannonball Half in October, but I have opted to run the Victory Junction. I think it's called Run to Victory in Randleman. Kyle Petty's camp for kids who are severely disabled, and I think maybe some do have terminal diseases. Well, they raise money for that. It is fully funded, I think, privately. I don't even think the government helps. But they sent 700 kids to that camp, and it includes activities that are specific for kids with those kind of challenges. So this race raises money for that. It starts later in the morning, 10 o'clock instead of 8 o'clock. It potentially is about the same distance away. And I have already set up my training regime for what I'm going to be doing. And what I'm planning to do is several weeks leading up to the half, which will be in December, as I said, mid-December. I can't remember the exact Saturday. I think it's the second Saturday, maybe third. It's like a week before Christmas. But what I'm planning to do is to build up to that with a long run of 15 miles on the outside, 16, probably 15. Got a lot of traffic this morning. Build up to a long run of 15 or 16 and then be prepared, including some speed work, hill work. Be prepared to run the half. And then from the half, take a couple weeks off. First week, a couple days off, and then short mileage. The next week, let the long run be back up to about 10. And then by the first week of January, we'll be bumping the long run back up around 12 or 13, and then back up to, we'll probably try to go about 21 for the marathon, including some, I don't know, maybe two 40-minute sessions of tempo. So that's the plan. I was wondering, is it possible for me to run that half and incorporate it into the marathon training? And I believe it is. Matter of fact, I believe it could be helpful as long as I make sure to recover after that race. So that's what we're planning right now. And relative to the... let me try that again. It's a little early. Relative to that, we have been working on the long run, and I went 9.5 last week for the long run, and went 10 Saturday. I think I had a 9:28 pace for 10 miles, which is good, 10.1. And also last week, one of my runs last week, 7-mile run, maybe 8, I averaged 8:50 pace. It was the day I did tempo. So I'm not quite where I need to be, but I know that I'm able to get there, and I feel like I can, especially delaying it a bit, I can really, really get on board with preparing for this half. And I don't know anything about the course, but I'm really hoping to break an hour and 40 minutes, and I feel much better about it if I have more time, which right now for October, it's just gotten a little bit too quick. I could run the one in October. The mileage won't be a problem, but I don't know. I'd rather have one half a year that I really key in on, and it's going to be the one in December. So probably won't even run the one in October. I'm sure I won't. I do have the Warren Reeves 10K coming up 2 weeks from this coming Saturday. So 18, 19 days away. 20 days away, maybe. Looking forward to that. Have no aspirations for that 5K other than to finish and run well. And you probably remember Last year we ran that and interviewed the race director. But Warren Reeves died from a heart attack at a very young age and was closely associated with a hospital here in High Point. And so they named a race in his honor. Run it every year. And I believe this is like the 24th, 25th year they've done it. So it's a well-known race in the area. Always a lot of fun. And after running the last two races being a marathon and a half, sort of looking forward to running that one. We may have one more 5K between September the, is the 18th, that race. Between it and the half in December, we may stick in another 5K somewhere. But that's what's going on with the training, and it's where I am. I am wearing a new pair of socks this morning, and I just wanted to share that with you. I know you're really glad that I was able to tell you that. But these are special socks. These are compression socks. There's a place in Ashboro where we go with Cindy's mother. She has to wear the hose and the sleeve on her left arm. The arm is because of a mastectomy she had. So we go to a place in Ashboro to pick up the hose. And I'd read an article in Runner's World about compression socks. Not that I think I particularly needed them, but I thought, well, why not give it a chance? Or give it a shot. So these come up to right at my knees. They're light compression, not heavy, but they do stay put. And so far, they feel really good. It's the first day I've been wearing them. And as far as I can tell, I might enjoy wearing those. Now, will they become something that I wear all the time? I don't know. I don't reckon it would hurt. But they will be something that I wear on occasion, and I'll let you know how that works out. But they say that they keep your legs from being tired and keep your fatigue level down in your muscles, at least your calves, ankles, that type of thing. And so we're going to give that a try. We'll let you know how it goes. Sorry for that sudden break. I got right up on my water stop and realized I needed to stop and drink, so that's what we did. I did want to mention that when I ran 10 miles a couple days back using the Qi method, the reason I'm wondering about if I even need the compression socks is, as I've said before, I am not nearly as tired. And I'm at the point now where I am sensing it, and I don't have to consciously think about it. And I absolutely love it. I absolutely love this form. There's the dog, but he's being a good boy. You always want to let them know you're coming. Some people say, maybe they won't hear you. No, you won't let them know you're coming. But with a Qi, my hips are never a problem. And it's a real nice bench here. Might be a little loose. I saw that when I was running the other day, and I thought somebody would pick it up by now. But anyway, with a Qi, you're just not putting all that pounding on your knees and your hips. And I love it. I just really like it. And that's not for everybody. I will take, not objection, but one point with Jeff Smith, Coach Jeff's comments last week about the Qi method. He used the term mental gymnastics. Well, it's like anything else. Initially, you have to think about it. You really do. Hips tilted, feet flat, knees bent, you know, swinging from the hips, neck lengthened. And those are just some of the very basics. A couple others we could add. Feet always landing under you or behind you, leaning a little bit. You do have to consciously think about that to begin with, but after a while, you use this body sensing idea, and I don't even think about it now. maybe a little bit. So the mental gymnastics, it's like anything, it may take you a little while to work through those, but you do get through those. So if you're prone to injury or have a chronic injury, I would recommend it. Also, I did ride the bike yesterday for the first time in months, stationary bike. Rode 30 minutes, covered about 6 miles, just casually running, or riding, excuse me, because my knees, hips are to the place now where I feel like I could do something like that, and that's what we were doing. So I'm going to try to incorporate some of the riding, build up the long run, continue to do tempo. Right now I'm doing 2 10-minute sessions, probably do a couple more of those, and the heel repeats I mentioned last episode as we get ready for the half. Hold the long run at 10 miles for the next 2 to 3 weeks. So that's where we are with the training. It's going well, and I'm looking forward to the fall. And I'll be honest, this morning I feel really good. That could change, but I feel good. So when I come back, I want to talk to you just a minute about some of the benefits of running. And these are fairly general, but especially if you're new to the program, fairly new to running, I want to encourage you and remind you of why you're doing what you're doing, and share with you some benefits that you might not have heard or maybe need to be reminded of. So I'll be back in just a few minutes. I've got duct tape over my nipples, trying something new. I was bleeding after the last run. Not bleeding today. The duct tape is working. I've had a time with bleeding nipples, so they're not bleeding now. We'll see if the tape stays. But I hope you hang in there, because I'll be right back after some music. You were listening to episode 65 of the 20 Minute Runner podcast. No! gonna go through these fairly quickly, but one of the main things that happens as we run, it gives us a distinct and very measurable edge on winning the Battle of the Bulge. In other words, controlling our weight and losing weight. As you know, you have to burn 3,500 calories to lose a pound. So, if you begin running 5 miles a day, if you were to do that every day, I'm not recommending you do, but if you did, and you continue to eat exactly what you're eating, and you were not gaining weight when you started, in a week you would lose a pound. So that's the idea. Plus, whenever you're done, your metabolic rate is raised for at least a couple of hours afterwards, and you will burn more calories sitting still than you would ordinarily. And of course, I lost 50 pounds several years ago, 12, 14, something like that. Kept it off. I just went to back to Weight Watchers with Cindy last Tuesday, a week ago now. And I weighed 143.8, I believe, right at 144. Now, that's not the lightest I've been, but that's certainly well within the range of my goal weight was 150, and still under that. So, but it'll help you with that, winning the Battle of the Bulge. Also, it prevents muscle and bone loss. And as we get older, which I realize I've got some younger listeners as well, thankfully, I'm pretty hip. Well, at least I like to think I am. I don't know if I am or not. I think I am. Anyway, the running obviously keeps your muscles toned, keeps them built up. Not just the running motion, but the other things that you may do supplement your running. For me, it's core and push-ups. So running will help keep those muscles toned and fit and give you strength, which is very important, especially as you get older. And the bone density, one of the best ways to combat loss of bone is, the density at least, is weight-bearing exercise. And of course running, and I might add especially chi, maybe no more than normal, but it does emphasize landing on your skeletal structure to hold you up. And so as you get older, women particularly after menopause, but men as well, lose bone density. Running is a great way to keep that density going, particularly in your legs and your hips, which tend to break and cause the most problem as we get older anyway. I work with older people a lot, and I know for a fact that that's true. Also, running, believe it or not, helps us fight disease. It reduces the risk of stroke. It reduces the risk of breast cancer. And people who have diabetes, or as I mentioned, osteoporosis or hypertension, high blood pressure, those persons often are told to exercise. And they lose some weight, begin to move quite a bit. Their blood pressure comes down, cholesterol comes down, strength of their heart increases, heart becomes more efficient, and also the risk of certain types of cancers are minimized. That means you're not only working out to improve your physical appearance, but also the overall function of your body. And in doing that, risk of heart attack and stroke becomes diminished. Now, it doesn't go away, but certainly you are doing the right thing and you are combating it. It helps you maintain and improve general health. Running is one of the best activities people can do to improve their health. It raises the HDL, good cholesterol, lowers the bad, reduces the risk of blood clots, and encourages use of the 50% of your lungs that usually go unused. And running also boosts your immune system, by creating a higher concentration of lymphocytes, which are white blood cells that attack disease, as you know. So running helps all of that. and will improve your overall health. It will, it should, it will, we know it will. Also, running helps you get confident, and I can attest to that. Builds confidence and self-esteem like a few other sports, individual sports especially, can do. It allows you to defeat trial after trial. You grow stronger with each goal you meet. For instance, for me, running the marathon was a major goal, and I know that I'm a stronger person overall because of that. I have more confidence, and now I have confidence that I can meet my time goal, breaking 4 hours. Now, whether I will or not, my next one, I don't know, but I know that it's certainly a possibility and a probability. If all goes well, come race day, everything goes perfectly, it's a certainty. But it builds confidence. Confidence is even more product of running for those who lose weight and gain a better self-image through running itself. It'll give you confidence to achieve bigger and even better goals. Stress release, and I might add stress relief, it's another benefit. Whether by allowing you the time to think about life's problems or time to escape for a while, tension flies by the wayside as you go over the miles. Distance runs are a great way for solving headaches and problems that are nagging at you. How many times have I been on a run with a heavy heart or things going on and wondered what I was going to do? And for some reason the run was able to just give me the boost that I needed, the mental clarity, and the ability to put aside those problems for a time. So it does help that. It has the ability to alter our moods, literally, because of the hormones called endorphins that are released, and they can create a sense of light euphoria called runner's high, and they can result in improvement to our mood. Now, I don't really experience runner's high per se, but I certainly do have those times where I feel like I could just keep running and my spirits are lifted and all of a sudden those problems aren't so great. Running will do that for you. Matter of fact, it's a good way to relieve mild depression, and studies do verify that. Running also helps us to train our mind. Along that line that I was just speaking about, running can help train the mind as much as it trains the body. By making yourself overcome those obstacles that running brings, the extra mileage, getting out of bed earlier, going for that run, whatever, helps you learn focus and helps you learn determination in the process. The will and strength that get your body through the long runs, or those runs where you just soon skip them, that's what in turn is going to strengthen your mind. It'll give you focus, it'll give you determination in other areas of your life. And it has me. Running is just a symbol of my whole life. Also, running can improve coordination as you strengthen leg muscles and ankle muscles and things like that. Trail runners particularly benefit from this. It improves your coordination, your stability on your feet, which again, as you get older, along with osteoporosis or bone loss, those are big issues. Running can help that because you're on your feet, your legs, gaining strength, gaining balance, gaining coordination. So running helps that as well. And then finally, one of the benefits of running, not directly to our health, but to me, it's just the versatility of it. Not many sports can be done almost anywhere and almost any time with almost no gear. And I'm sure the ancient Greeks would argue that their Olympians were quite the minimalists. Well, today, as you know, all you need is a good pair of shoes. And the minimalist philosophy is abounding, which I guess in a way I adhere to some of that, although I still like my cushioned running shoes. But I'm beginning to think I could do without any control it all. Because running the way that I am, basically flat-footed, it keeps my feet from pronating and hence improves my knee problems, hip problems. But anyway, it's versatile. If you're properly prepared, you can go anytime, virtually anywhere. Sidewalks, trails, as I do most of the time on the streets. Travel a lot. There's always room in your suitcase for a pair of runner's shoes. The world is our gym, so we need to go and rediscover it. And if you're just getting into this, I just want to remind you that starting a running program is simpler than most people believe. It's advisable that you do see a doctor first, of course, and get ready to start, and then find someone who's running. If you want to go back and listen to some of these shows or other shows, running podcasts, they will help you as well. Figure out what kind of foot you have, because everybody's not doing chi running. And to begin with, you need to determine what type of shoe you need, whether you overpronate, whether you underpronate, and I've done a few episodes on that. You can go to the search box at the blog, which I'll give you that blog in a minute, and find information on what types of shoes are needed for certain types of running. So, those things help us, and they benefit us, I should say. They're just some of the countless positives of a running program. And I know if you're running regularly, you are experiencing those wonderful benefits. And we look forward to, Lord willing, experiencing them for a long time to come. Okay, I've been running an hour and 3 minutes, and we've covered about 6.5 miles. We're going to bring this one on in. I actually went a little further than I meant to, so I may cut off a couple of the turnoffs here. But we should finish up around 7, just over that perhaps. And we'll bring you in at the close. But again, thanks for listening. I'll be right back. Just came up the last big hill, and garbage man threw me a big grin and said, "You're a winner." I said, "I appreciate it." The same one told Odie that he liked his mustache. But maybe that's another benefit of running, the encouragement that people give you as you run. We are finished running. I have gone into the house and gotten a Propel. Actually, it's an Aquafina bottle with some Walmart Propel in it, Walmart brand Propel. But it's just something to rehydrate me, give me just a very few calories, and put a little bit of potassium and sodium back in my system. We'll eat here in just a little bit, get something better to drink and all that. But I picked up Odie. Run went well. I'll give you the details in a minute. Come on now. Come on. Morning, Karen. But I did want to tell you how you can get up with me. You can go to my blog at the20minuterunner.blogspot.com, the20minuterunner.blogspot.com. And while you're there, if you would fill out the survey. I think the one for this month is over, or this time, and I need to give you results on that coming up very soon, in the next episode perhaps. But we'll put another one up, so there should be a new one there. And also, send me any photos of yourself. I love getting listener photos. If you could send them to me at the blog, the email me button is there. I would appreciate that. I'll add them to the others. You can also just go to 20 Minute Runner, T0, 20 Minute Runner at gmail.com. That's my email account. And send me any photographs, race reports, MP3, WAV, whatever type of audio file. Your race reports, questions, comments about the show, that type of thing. We'll be glad to post those and or include them in an upcoming episode. I would love to hear from you. Anytime you run a race, send us that. We'll be glad to share that with all of our listeners.
Hey, kitty. Hey, there's the mama cat. Mama cat.
The Sox did me well today, and I really enjoyed them. I think I'll keep wearing them as far as I can tell from today's run, but the run went well, and again, I'm just glad to have you with me. I think we'll go ahead and wind this one up, and if I can get to my watch, give you some details of what we did. I actually hit the button wrong again, so I think I got an issue with that, but hit the wrong button. Odie, come on. And I'm doing laps here, but I need to do the average pace. Odie, come on. I can tell you that I ran 7.447 miles, and I averaged 9.40 a mile. And my best pace was 7.32, so that's good. We ran almost 7.5. All right, Odie has spotted a dog, so before he has a fit, we're going to sign out. I'll see you hopefully in a week to 10 days. Please check out my blog. Send me any information about yourself you'd like. And remember, my name is Roland, and you've been listening to the 20 Minute Runner podcast. Thanks for sharing some of the road with me. Have a great week, everybody. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.